John chapter 19, if you're there, say amen. Amen. You know, a lot of folks are a little ignorant about what it takes to preach. It's more than just being able to have time to prepare a sermon. It's having God on you. And it's real, believe it or not, that's a fact. And the preacher's got to be real focused, amen? And I've been praying for the last 15 minutes to really focus me. I wasn't prepared for what we were going to do in Sunday school, so a little bit of my focus and edge was taken for a moment. But I really want you to pray for me. This is one of the best sections of passages of Scripture that I'll ever preach in my life. And I want to be ready for it this morning, okay? John chapter 19, verse 30. If you're there, say amen.
Amen.
When Jesus, therefore, had received the vinegar, he said, "It is finished." He bowed his head and gave up the ghost. Our Father, I'm aware of something. Preaching is more than just style. Anybody could do it. It's more than just putting together a few notes. But Lord, right now I need your anointing, your approval, your hand on this preacher. Lord, help me preach like I've never preached before, but not for me to be seen. Too many people think it's all about personalities and this guy can do it as well as this guy and all that. No, Lord, I want you to be seen. I want you to be exalted. And you did say, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. So this morning, I pray for special anointing in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. We have so far preached on forgiveness, the most beautiful word. We've talked about salvation. Today shalt thou be with me in paradise, the most essential word. We talked about my God, why? That why being the most mysterious word. We've talked about I thirst, and that is the most human word. But this morning, I'm going to talk about finished. When he said on the cross, "It is finished," that was the greatest word ever spoken. And may I say this to you, he done it in a loud voice. Some of these Baptist churches today are trying to quiet everybody down. Well, the Bible said he cried with a loud voice. If there's ever a time we need to beseech souls and with a loud trumpet voice, it's today. And I don't know if you all know this, but I'll give it to you. I'm not doing well with the Bible at all, okay? Please take that wrong. But when he said it is finished, it actually was one word in the Greek. Hope you know that. And there's the word, teleiase. Is that right? Did I pronounce that right? Yeah, I think it is. Finished. When he was there, he said, "Finished," or "It is finished." Woo! By the way, Romans 11, 6, it said, you hear me? Salvation's already done. You can't do anything to complete it. It's already complete. Amen. Not a work you could do to save yourself. Because the Bible said if you be by grace, then there's no more works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then there's no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. What he done on the cross was sufficient. It doesn't take any more effort. You can't do anything to accomplish it because he did it.
Amen.
It's the greatest word ever spoken. Because the greatest person ever lived spoke it. The first words he said, it was recorded by him when he was a young fella. He said, I must be about my Father's business. Then later he said, my meat is to do the will of God. Somebody help me preach. Jesus Christ knew exactly what he was doing when he was 8 years old. He knew why he came. It was to accomplish or complete something that we can't complete. I'm going to give you three things, and I'm starting to see the Holy Ghost move. Number one, the greatest person who ever spoke, Christ. You know what God said about him three times? This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. He fulfilled the requirements of God the Father. He fulfilled the demands of God the Father. He fulfilled every law demanded, that the law demanded. What the law could not do, that it was weak through the flesh. God sent his Son in the likeness of sinful flesh to condemn sin in the flesh. It was Christ alone. Can I, y'all mind me taking a minute or two this morning? He spoke. But I want every one of y'all to know something. Every book of this Bible speaks of him. You said, really? Do you mind me telling you, going through this with you? Can I exalt him this morning? Can we lift him up, Brother Rich, as high as we can lift him? In Genesis, Jesus is the seed of woman. In Exodus, he's the Passover lamb. In Leviticus, he's our high priest. In Numbers, he's the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire at night. In Deuteronomy, he's the prophet like unto Moses. In Joshua, he's the commander of the Lord's army. In Judges, he's the lawgiver and judge. In Ruth, he is our kinsman redeemer. In 1 and 2 Samuel, he is the seed of David. In Kings and Chronicles, he is our reigning king. In Ezra, he's our faithful scribe. In Nehemiah, he is the rebuilder of everything broken. Well, glory, there's hoping for you this morning. In Esther, he is our Mordecai. In Job, he is our ever-living redeemer. In Psalm, he is our shepherd, good, great, and chief. Somebody help me preach. In Proverbs, he's our wisdom. In Ecclesiastes, he's the meaning of life. In Song of Solomon, he's the loving bridegroom. In Isaiah, he's the Prince of Peace. In Jeremiah and Lamentations, he's our weeping prophet. In Ezekiel, he's our glorious Lord. In Daniel, he's the fourth man in the furnace. In Hosea, he's the faithful husband. In Joel, he's the outpourer of the Holy Spirit. In Amos, he's the burden bearer. Do you have any this morning? In Obadiah, he's the judge and savior. In Jonah, he's the risen prophet. As Jonah was in the whale's belly 3 days and three nights, so must the Son of Man be in the heart of the earth 3 days and three nights. And I'm starting to preach. In Micah, he's the ruler of the world from Bethlehem. In Nahum, he is our stronghold. In Habakkuk, he is the watchman. In Zephaniah, he is the mighty to save. In Haggai, he is the restorer. In Zechariah, he's the branch of David, the one pierced. In Malachi, he's the son of righteousness. In Matthew, he's the king of kings. In Mark, he's the servant miracle worker. In Luke, he's the son of man. In John, he's the son of God. In Acts, he's the savior of the world and ascended Lord. In Romans, he's the justifier. In 1 Corinthians, he's the resurrection. In 2 Corinthians, he is our comfort. In Galatians, he is our liberty. In Ephesians, he's the head of the church. In Philippians, he is our joy. In Colossians, he's our completeness and glue that holds everything together. In 1 First and Second Thessalonians, he is the coming king. And First and Second Timothy is our mediator between God and man. Woo! In Philippians, he's our benefactor. Woo! Or Philemon, I'm sorry. In Titus, he is the blessed hope. In Hebrews, he's our perfection. In James, he's the power of our faith. In 1st and 2nd Peter, he is our chief shepherd and chief cornerstone. 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, he's the truth and everlasting life. In Jude, he is the foundation of our faith. Revelation, he is the King of kings and Lord of lords. Can I go on? Do y'all mind? I think you're with me, aren't you? He needs to be exalted a little further. He was bruised and brought healing. He was pierced and eased pain. He was persecuted and brought freedom. He was dead and brought life. He is risen and brings power. He reigns and brings peace. The world can't understand him. The armies cannot defeat him. The schools cannot explain him. The leaders can't ignore him. Herod couldn't kill him. The Pharisees couldn't confuse him. The grave couldn't hold him. Nero couldn't crush him. Hitler couldn't silence him. Other religions can't replace him. And the world can't explain him away. He is the light. He's the love. He's longevity. Somebody help me. And Lord, he's goodness, kindness, gentleness, and God. He is holy, righteous, mighty, powerful, and pure. He was always right. His ways are right. His word is eternal. His will is unchanging. His mind is on us. He's my redeemer, my savior. He's my guide and my peace. He's my joy. He's my comfort. He's my Lord. And he rules my life. And every book of the Bible speaks of him. But none of them said any greater words than what he said on the cross. Secondly, whew, I'm just going to take a sip of water. Is that all right? Lord, what a Savior. Then I noticed the greatest proclamation ever spoken. Finished. John the Baptist said something one time, and there's a great proclamation. When he saw him walking down the dusty roads, Brother Jeremy, he said, "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." Peter, when he was asked, "Who do men say that I am?" and they murmured. Then the Holy Ghost came to Peter, and Peter said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." But Christ on the cross said, "It is finished." No soul can be saved unless it's finished. No sin can be forgiven unless it's finished. No sinner can ever escape hell unless it's finished. On the great day of atonement. Oh, I'm feeling the Holy Ghost. On the great day of atonement, the high priest would enter into the holies of holies with the blood of a perfect lamb. He would sprinkle it on the mercy seat, over the broken law, between the two seraphims. The blood was shed over the broken law, atoning and covering sin for 1 year. But when he said he's finished, it wasn't for 1 year. Will y'all mind me a little bit and turn to Hebrews chapter 10 real quick? Just stay with me. I'm going somewhere and I feel like it's a good place. Go to Hebrews chapter 10. He didn't do it for a year. All those were pointing to him. Let me give you a little bit here. Look at verse 14. By the wish will, we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Christ once for all. Verse 14, for by one offering he had perfected forever. Whoa! Yeah. Them that are sanctified. Not 1 year, not 6 years, not 400 years, but you have eternal life because he completed it on Christ, on the cross of Calvary.
Amen.
Let me go on with this. By the way, there's four or five things under this point. He fulfilled 300 prophecies. We spoke of it. And Shane told us that's one whatever quintillions. And we showed you last week, it's like putting a foot of silver dollars over the state of Texas and putting one in there and expecting you back. The likelihood that happened is very unlikely. But ladies and gentlemen, look at me right now. Please look at me right now. God's word is true. God, you can trust God's word. And by the way, he's finished the passion of his suffering. None of you realize what he suffered. Beaten, bruised, bloodied, spit on, mocked, a crown of thorns put on his head. When he finished suffering. The misguided people that go in Rome and walk up the Roman steps on their knees are so misguided. I'm glad they think it was Luther when he experienced that and he found, and the Holy Ghost came to him and said, the just shall live by faith. Somebody help me preach. The promises of salvation is finished. Then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now, in the end of the world, hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Ladies and gentlemen, your salvation, the plan is finished.
Amen.
Oh, I like this one. This is my favorite. They're all should be my favorite, but this is my favorite. The power of Satan is finished. You said, boy, he's still around. Yeah, but he's done. Yes, Lois. He bruised my Savior's heel. But you know how to kill a snake? You step on its head. Am I preaching? How many of you have the devil worked you over lately? Raise your hand. I want you to say this together. There'll be a day he can't do it anymore. I read the back of the book. He's going to hell. The best example of this, or not the best, but an example that kind of thrilled me as I done my studies this week. I'll be honest with you, this thing's got bigger than I thought it was going to be. How many remember a boy named Samson? Raise your hand. How many remember him? Old Samson was a great man. By the way, before you criticize him, you better go read the Hebrews. He's in the Hall of Fame of Faith. But when Samson was dying, and he came back to himself and he repented. Here's what Samson done. He took a pillar in one arm and a pillar in the other arm and 1,000 Philistines underneath. And he pulled the pillars down and the temple or the building collapsed and killed them all. When Jesus was on the cross, he put one arm around sin. And one of the hands around death. And he took the other arm around Satan and the other hand around the demons. And he pulled down the stronghold. he pulled it all down and destroyed the one that's the author of death. He's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. And ladies and gentlemen, it is finished.
Amen.
You say you're done yet? Not yet. I am. Then I want you to end up with this. The greatest promise ever secured, eternal security. I know. You Baptists, believe once in grace, always in grace. Well, don't say yes, sir, real quick. That actually ain't what we believe. But what when they say it, it's what we believe. But actually what we believe is once saved, always saved. Because you're either in grace or you're a disgrace. Can I explain it? Can I just go ahead and explain it all to you? This word finish is a servant's word. And by the way, he humbled himself as a servant. When the servant went and finished the task of the labor, placed all the wood or whatever he was doing, he would say this, Teliase, I'm finished. He was your servant, and he finished it for you. It's also a religious word. When the priest would take the lambs, are y'all with me? And he had to inspect them. And he had to make sure they had no flaws. Not one little flaw. And when he got done inspecting, before they would be taken on the great day of atonement, he would say these words, Teliase, finished. And he is the Lamb of God.
Amen.
That taketh away the sin of the world. Is it okay if I preach a little bit more?
Amen.
This one here is one of my favorite. It's an artistic word. When a painter, I got to find a scripture. Just Holy Ghost, just not in my notes. Holy Ghost, just give me a scripture. Y'all just stay with me as I'm turning. Whew. Yeah, I got it. It's a word for a painter. When he would start painting Chad, he would put all the work in it till it was perfect. And by the way, because of what he done, he's painting your life.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
But when that painter would get done with the masterpiece, and he looked at the masterpiece, and it reflected everything he expressed in his heart, he said, Teliase, it is finished. Whew. You said, why is that important? I'm glad you asked. Because the Holy Ghost just gave me a verse that wasn't in my notes. A lot of them have been that way this morning. The Bible said that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. One of these days, your painting is going to be completed. Oh, it may have been marred at one time. It may not look good at one time, but one of these days you're going to be in his great museum, in his great palace, in his great home, and you're going to be there without blemish, and your painting will be done. And he'll say, Teliase, hey, ladies and gentlemen, he finished the work. It's a painter's word. Lord God, I found another one. It's an accounting word. When the banker and when Jared green, settles everything up, and he's not 6 cents off. And it's to perfection, which he does all the time. And he looks at the bills that's been paid, and he comes to the pastor and says, "Pastor, the bills are finished. We have this much left over." Ladies and gentlemen, you had a bill you couldn't pay. You had something you couldn't do. But he paid it all. I'm still preaching. But this is, I said the other one was my favorite, but I lied. I didn't mean to lie, but it's my second favorite. Actually, it's another word. I want to walk down off this stage so bad right now, but I won't. Because I don't want Craig Tumbler to have a heart attack. It's a battlefield word. When the conquering king would go out to a city and defeat the other king, he would bring him back into his home city and lay down that king on the ground and put his feet upon his chest, foot upon his chest, and stand with his sepulcher and say, "It is finished. The battle is over. I know you're fighting the devil if you're saved. You're trying to fight him to do right. And the devil is hounding you and beating on you. But I want you to know there's going to be a day, one day, that the devil is going to be dragged out public in front of everybody. And he, God's son, is going to put his foot on his chest and say, 'It is finished.' He's already finished, but it's going to be a public announcement. And then he's going to be cast into hell forever and ever and ever. Somebody help me preach." The devil beats up on me all the time. I feel the older I get, the worse he's fighting me. Because I know I'm in and heading to finish line. But can I give you some more? Briefly. Turn to Romans 5. I said he finished it, Steve. Cindy, I said he finished it. Look at Romans 5. Then what happens then, preacher? Look at verse 1. First of all, he accomplished justification. "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." But not only did he do that, but also I have access into grace, by whom also we have access by faith into the grace wherein we stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. That was all. But now, in the Old Testament, they had the Holy Ghost come around them and on them. But now, because he finished it, we are accompanied by the Holy Spirit. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given to somebody. Help me preach. By the way, that's not all. A great day of atonement, that priest went, made that atonement. That's the Old Testament. But look at Romans 5, 9 through 11. "Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him." Won't go to hell, won't go through the tribulation. "For if we were enemies, for when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son. Much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life." Listen to this. "And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement." He acquired atonement. We're atoned. We're paid for. We're on our way to heaven. And by the way, if you're a sinner here, you can get on the bus with us. Final, I'm done with a story. I haven't told many, but I will tell one now. A famous evangelist that I could mention, but his name is eluding me, so you forgive me, was holding a tent meeting for a week into a town, and literally thousands were saved. A man had come every night. Holy Ghost worked on him every night, but he refused to be saved. They took the tent down, took the stakes up, put it in the wagon, and all of a sudden, the Holy Ghost got a hold of that man. He came to the famous evangelist, so I'll try to tell you next time. And he said this, "You better look at me. Just tell me what I can do. And you'll be shocked at the evangelist," what he said. "Sir, it's too late. Too late. But wait a minute. Just tell me what I can do." He said, "Sir, it's too late. And then the man broke down in deep repentance and fell on his face. And I wish I could emulate it right now. And the evangelist crawled down in front of him, laid his face to his face. And he said, "Sir, you can't do nothing because the work has already been done. But all you need to do is trust him." You're here lost. You can't do nothing. But if you call on him, you'll be calling on the one that's finished the work. It's done. It's completed. Ain't nothing you can add to it. Bow your head with me. Heads bowed, eyes closed. No one looking around. I give you my best, but I'll be honest with you. Unless the Holy Ghost does the work in your life, you can't be saved. I want to ask right now, how many Christians can raise one or two hands and say, "I'm glad I'm saved, and I know I'm saved, and I know it's finished, and I know I'm going to heaven"? Raise your hand. As many as you want. God bless you. How many in this room, in the gentleness of this hour, believe that he did do that? And that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. The work's done, the work's completed. But now repentance and faith in what he done is all it'll take for you to go to heaven. Is there anybody here not saved? Raise your hand up and say, "Pray for me. I need Christ in my life." Slip up your hand. Hold him up high. I see that hand. I see it. Thank you. Put it down, please. Anybody else? Yes, I see that hand too. Anybody else? Is there a young person not sure? Mom, dad, boy or girl? Slip up your hand and say, "I need to be saved. Pray for me." Nobody's looking, and I don't want our office workers to look. Please don't. But I am looking. If you raise your hand and you feel God's working on you, would you look at me? Would you just look up at me if you raise your hand. You believe God saved you if you asked him. What I want you to do, you that raise your hand, I want you to slip out of your seat right now. God's working on you so hard. That's right. Come on, son. And there's somebody else here that raised her hand. Come on. You come on. The other one, you ought to come too. The Spirit of God's breaking. You ought to come. This boy once led to Christ, Tyler. You ought to come too, sir. You're wiping tears. The Holy Ghost is all over you. Please come. It's finished. All you got to do is come and trust Him. Anybody else? Maybe you're a religious person, but not really saved. Down in your heart, if you died, you ain't real sure you'd go to heaven. You're scared right now. Won't you raise your hand and say, pray for me. I made a profession, but I don't think it's real. Pray for me. I'm going to pray. Father, dear Father, there's these two more gentlemen that tears are in their eyes, convictions on their heart, and Lord, they want to be saved. Pull the devil off of them. Pull the excuses away from them and bring them to the altar. God, we're praying on your power, your work, that we know salvation's of the Lord. In Jesus' name. Would you stand reverently?